A Quackcast, the Revenant Edition. This is number 236 for May 21st, 2024. Bird is the word.
Oh, well, everybody's heard about the bird. Bird. Bird's the word. Oh, well, the bird, bird. Bird is the word. Oh, well, the bird. Well, the bird is the word. Oh, well, the bird. The bird's the word. Oh, well, the bird. Well, the bird is the word. Oh, well, the bird. Bird. The bird's the word. Oh, well, the bird. Bird. The bird's the word. Oh, well, the bird. Bird.
Well, enough of that. Thank you, Trashmen. You should check out the video from 1963. As well, of course, as any Family Guy rendition.
Brian, can I see that paper for a sec?
Huh, that's odd. I thought that would be big news.
You thought what would be big news?
Well, there seems to be an absence of a certain ornithological piece. A headline regarding mass awareness of a certain avian variety.
What are you talking about?
Oh, have you not heard? It was my understanding that everyone had heard.
Heard what?
Brian, don't!
Bird is the word, indeed. Finest tribute to Charlie Parker ever. At least as I understand the lyrics. But then I think it was Zappa who said something to the effect that it's foolish to look into the meaning of rock lyrics. I think it was Zappa. I can't quickly find the quote and don't want to go down that rat hole. Wouldn't be prudent. I'm a bit punked this month. My gallstones, after years of lying quietly, decided they wanted to kill me. Nothing like a gangrenous gallbladder to slow you down. I find it ironic in the Morissette sense that for years I said the gallbladder was the second most difficult organ to understand, and it could go south with remarkably little lab and physical findings pointing to the gallbladder. Then you open the patient up based on physical findings on the CAT scan, and it's dead, Jim. Although green rather than the usual red shirt. Like mine. I'm getting better, but I do not have my usual focus. My long and storied career saw three pandemics. AIDS started when I was in medical school. Remember, association is not causation. Then H1N1 influenza, and finally COVID-45. I wonder at age 67 if I will live long enough to see a fourth, or ironically, die in a pandemic. Could be. I never saw coronaviruses as a pandemic worry. It wasn't discussed much in the journals or meetings that I remember, although there were the smart ones who were worrying about coronaviruses. And there were a few coronaviruses that tried and failed to go full pandemic. It was always influenza that kept the ball of anxiety alive, because we, and by we I mean ID docs, remember the 1918 influenza pandemic that killed, in less than a year, more Americans than died of enemy action in all our wars combined. 600,000 people or so, 0.5% of the population, dead. Damn impressive. COVID killed around 0.3% in comparison, but in three times the population. By the way, the descriptor only should never be used in front of morbidity or mortality statistics, and its use in that context is a marker of an uncaring asshole, an anti-John Donne. One death is not an only to the person dying or their friends and family. And please, if you find that I have made just such a faux pas in the past, I don't want to know about it. We all do foolish things in our youth, youth being defined as age less than current age. Influenza has always been one of the more interesting infectious diseases, in part due to its history, in part due to its impact on society, and in part due to its pathophysiology, which is like most of the fun infectious diseases, you know, syphilis, tuberculosis, malaria, all share some of the same characteristics. While it looked like early in the outbreak that H1N1 was going to be the next Spanish flu, the reportedly high initial mortality rates out of Mexico were a reporting artifact. H1N1 probably killed 284,000 people, estimate ranged between 150 and 575, so not particularly virulent by 1918 standards, or COVID-45 for that matter. Of course, with H1N1, we had residual immunity from prior outbreaks, vaccines, and medications to treat flu and its secondary infections. We had ICUs and a better understanding how to dose aspirin, aspirin overdose, by the way, was credited with some of the deaths of the 1918 pandemic. So I would be surprised, even if there was a new influenza outbreak, that it would kill at 1918 rates. But given the huge world population now, a death rate of 0.5% would kill a lot of people. During most of my career, avian influenza has been wandering through the world, and I get the impression it is probing the barriers between birds and humans, looking for a way in. Of course, it is not really doing that, but a rule of infectious diseases is that if it is possible to get infected by some weird, unusual route, someone will get infected by that route. And if there is an environmental niche that an infection can move into, it will. Evolution is a bastard. The question is whether it will be a one-off event or the start of something worse. But first, let's talk influenza A. As you probably know, flu is brought to you by the letters H and N. The H stands for the hemagglutinin and the N for the neuraminidase. H1, H2, and H3 are found on human strains. H4, 5, and 6, there have been 18 so far, are strains found in other animals, like bird influenzas. Similarly, there are human and non-human neuraminidases, about 11 total. They are important virulence factors where, quote, hemagglutinin initiates viral fusion by binding to sialic acid-containing receptors on the host cell, and neuraminidase facilitates viral release by hydrolyzing the ketocytic bond of sialic acid. The balance of hemagglutinin and neuraminidase activities is thought to be critical for influenza virus infectivity and transmissibility. Generally, these enzymes are mostly species-specific, although human and pigs are remarkably alike as far as influenza and my wife are concerned. She always wished she'd realized at a younger age that most men are pigs. The pig-human similarities are why outbreaks of human influenza often originate in pig farms. In ID, it is traditional to mention if a given virus is made up of DNA, RNA, is single-stranded or double-stranded or circular or whatever. Much of the time, it is information that does not help understanding of the virus. For some, like HIV, that information is helpful. The key thing about influenza is that it is a segmented genome. 8 segments, in fact. So what can happen, often in a pig, is the poor swine is infected with, say, a human and a bird flu. And in forming a new virus, it takes a segment from the pig flu and a segment from the human flu, and viola, you have a new strain of flu. This is the dreaded antigenic shift that usually happens about every 30 to 50 years. That is different from the antigenic drift, where there is a gradual accumulation of mutations in the viral genome. For, like humans, influenza is a sloppy reproducer. So right now the worry is H5N1. Where did it come from? Probably Chinese poultry farms around 1996. As is typical of influenza, farms around the world often have a mix of humans and pigs and birds and other animals in high density, perfect for breeding a new strain of influenza. Since that time, by way of wild birds, H5N1 has spread across the world, killing uncountable birds, 900 or so humans, with a 50%, yes, 50% death rate. And to my surprise, given that viri are usually relatively species-specific, H5N1 has been killing other animals, lots of other animals. It has killed huge numbers of elephant seals and squirrels, skunks, bottlenose dolphins, polar bears, and dairy cows. Which is odd. Cows? Cows have their own influenza D. But A? A PubMed search suggests that reports of influenza A in cows only started in the last decade. Cows do not die off like sea lions, but get a mild illness. But the influenza is now widespread and spreading in dairy cows, and when tested, many farmers are evidently refusing not only to have the milk tested, but will not let their cows wear masks. Free the cow. H5N1 is found in milk. And if raw milk from infected cows is fed to cats, the cats sicken and die from H5N1. It feels like I should cue the music for Jaws rather than the Trash Man. But despite being widespread, there has been a paucity of human cases, with one case in a dairy worker. As an aside, this was done in May of 2024, and there have been more cases in humans as of this recording. But at least as of the writing of this essay, it suggests that cows and cow milk are not efficient at spreading H5N1. Yet. Why? Pasteurization? Probably because we lack the receptors in the upper airway for H5N1 to bind to. And the first necessary step in an infection is for the pathogen binding to a very specific receptor on a cell, specifically sialic acids. 2,3 linked sialic acids, which is what H5N1 binds to, are found in human intestines, so raw milk could be a potential source for H5N1. But who in their right mind would drink raw milk in the year 2024? I mean, besides Robert Kennedy Jr. Well, plenty, unfortunately. Pasteurization, however, should take care of the flu if it's in milk. The lone case reported of disease in a dairy worker suggested a respiratory route. And as is usual of H5N1 infections, it occurs in those with potentially massive exposure to the virus that allows the virus to reach the lower airway to start infection. As best I can tell, the alpha-2-3 linked sialic acids are plentiful in the cat gut and the cow trachea. It turns out that cow udders have human and bird sialic acid and, quote, human eyes contain the same H5N1 receptor found in ducks and cow udders, which explains why the reported case in a human had conjunctivitis as a predominant symptom. So it could have been a splash injury. They were certainly common enough in hospitals before widespread goggle use. I can imagine that people milking cows often get splashed in the eye. As an aside, I was once had a question about HIV prophylaxis. The stripper was lactating, and while spinning about the stage, her milk splashed in the eye of a patron. He wasn't wearing glasses or goggles. So perhaps one should be cautious of lactating animals of all species infected with H5N1. As to my recommendation of that case, I think I laughed too hard to give one. Cool, huh? If you know the receptor that the pathogen needs to get started and a lot of the disease manifestations are explained, be it flu, COVID-45, HIV, or gonorrhea. So humans seem to be protected. For now. Influenza is unstable, shifting and drifting, changing its genome. It will not take much for it to become transmissible by air, maybe only 3 to 5 mutations, a number that does deserve an only. Of course, becoming more transmissible doesn't necessarily mean it will continue to have a 50% mortality rate. It might become more transmissible, but less virulent, or not. And note the N1 of H5N1, as in H1N1, a common human neuraminidase. So we may have some immunity from H1N1, depending on how much antigenic drift has occurred. Quote, our results support experimental evidence that prior infection with H1N1 confers partial cross-reactivity to H5N1. So it is likely that some pre-existing immunity from vaccinations, medications, and bankrupting modern medical care, at least in the West, will attenuate the mortality of H5N1 when and if it becomes more transmissible and spreads. Hopefully mortality will decrease a lot, as a 50% death rate would be a bit much. I fully expect H5N1 to get those mutations, one way or another. What can happen in infectious diseases will happen. As mentioned above, H5N1 is very unusually pushing and prodding its way into many other animal species. And if it gets into our closest influenza in spiritual relative, the pig, can't see why humans would not be next. So I'm investing in coffins. Something wicked this way comes, but with more or less 1918 levels of morbidity and mortality? You got me. All I know for sure is that since COVID-45, a tremendous number of people will do exactly the wrong thing in response to a pandemic and get sick and die as a result. As the wise man noted, no one ever learns from past mistakes, so they repeat the same damn thing over and over. And that ends QuackCast number 236. References and clever hyperlinks can be found at Science Based Medicine from the May 21st, 2024 blog entry, Bird is the Word. You can stop listening here. Best surfing song ever.